hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear the joy in what you say to us today. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters, are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. This is the word of the Lord.
I will start us off with an explanation, kind of how our week went, and then we have four wonderful youth who will be sharing their stories. First of all, thank you. Thank you for sending us, but most of all, thank you for being here. It means a great deal to my 10 youth that you took your Sunday morning to come hear them, to come learn of their stories, and to be a part of their lives. This week we're on the northeast side of Chicago, and we were in a neighborhood that was a rough one. It was a safe one, but it was a rough one, because the church we were working in had done incredible things in the community. They had brought it so far and continued to love on the people that were there. But it wasn't an easy place. We were hot. We were really hot. We were sweaty. The heat was just stifling where we were. There was no fresh air. The sites where we were working, it was an uncomfortableness. But that was a huge lesson for us, an uncomfortableness in serving and having the strength to serve Christ in what is uncomfortable. We served in four different places. We had a group of kids with children working with low-income children who have this full program all summer long where they have the opportunity to be fed and have fun and play. We had a group working in the neighborhood painting homes for the elderly and those who were at risk and those who were disabled. They were able to paint these homes for people and take care of homes who couldn't do it themselves. Then we had another group working in a neighborhood caring for the littlest of things, or what seemed like the littlest, but ended up being a big deal. It was little sidewalk community gardens. It was picking up trash. It was a way for them to say, we want to even make the smallest of things matter so that you can be proud of this community that you work in. And finally, we had a group, which was my group, with elderly care. We were in a nursing home. And we were taught we love because he first loved us. And that's what I saw this week in each and every single one of them. They loved because they were first loved by God. To say I was in awe does not do it justice. To say I was in awe of these 10 is not the word that can even comprehend what they did. We were in the cracks, in the crevices of communities, the forgotten places. These kids stepped up and loved in the hardest of places. And they did it with the joy of Christ. There was no complaining. There was just a joy that seeped out from every pore of their being. I could not be more proud or taught more as a leader or more humbled. The light of Christ was bursting forth every single one of them, every moment of the day, no matter how hot or uncomfortable we were. They loved because he first loved us. So now we're going to hear from Joy, and then you will hear from Kenneth and Kate and then Jenny, and take time to hear their stories and see the light of Christ in them.
Hello. So this is my last mission trip. I've been on 6, and I say that I've said this in previous years, but I really think that this year was my favorite one by far. When I embarked on this trip, I had no idea what to expect or who we would be serving or where we'd be serving. And so our group has kind of just learned to expect the unexpected when it comes to youth works, because they don't tell us where we're going to be serving until we get there. So I was placed in a group with Allie and Katie. We were working in a nursing home. And as soon as we found out where we were working, Katie was instantly at home. She's like, guys, I got this. On the other end of the spectrum, I found it difficult to talk to the residents of the nursing home, which I found to be awkward because usually I can make conversation easily with anyone. But it took me a while to find topics that I could talk about, which would be easy for both ends to converse about. So I ended up talking about families, or if they had families, or what activities they would like to do when they were younger, what their occupation was, just little things to try to get to build relationships with them. And then in return, I would talk about myself. Our group of 3 was paired with a group of 3 sophomore boys and one of their moms who was a chaperone. And on the first day, it proved to be very difficult and it was rather uncomfortable, but Katie and Allie and I pushed through and we made meaning in the mundane, as Allie had said all week. But the sophomore boys and the parent volunteer decided to leave our group after Monday because they felt like they weren't getting anything out of being in the nursing home. When Katie and I discovered this, we talked to the boys and we talked to the leader and we said, hey guys, we know this is uncomfortable, we know this is difficult, but please stick with it, because Allie's always taught us that we just take whatever we're given and we make meaning through it. But they kind of blew us off completely. And they decided to leave anyways. And honestly, Katie and I were furious. We were frustrated. We were confused. I was not so silently yelling at God. And I was fuming because why was it so easy for them to leave? I felt like their thought process was, well, if I don't want to do it, then I don't have to do it. And then the Youth Works leaders had ultimately made the decision to move them to another group. So I was expressing my frustrations to a few of the leaders. And one of the leaders, she sat down and talked at like 11:30 at night. She talked with Katie and myself, and she said that there was a curse and a gift with being mature. It's a gift because you can take those situations, you can take difficult situations, and you can make meaning out of them. but it's a curse because it's difficult to place yourself in shoes of people who aren't at the same level as you are. And so I really had to take myself out of my own shoes and place them into the shoes of the four people that left our group and understand that, well, the leader made the analogy that it's like when you're feeding a baby, you first give it formula and then you slowly introduce it to solid foods and then you give him a chicken leg or something. But you don't just go up to a baby and say, here, eat this chicken leg. You have to slowly, gradually introduce them to different things. And that's what I learned is what had to happen. And so my lesson this week was tolerance and patience and understanding. And I thank God for giving me that. So thank you.
Okay, so my story starts when we first drove into Chicago. We drive past some train stations and stuff, and that's cool. And I'm looking around, seeing all the places, all the things, and I'm immediately realizing the culture is completely different from what I know. We're not in Denver anymore, Toto. From its murals to its iron fences to its traffic, Chicago is a very distinct city with an eclectic culture. And in that moment that I was looking around, I actually felt more out of place than I was expecting. It all seemed so chaotic. It looked like a big challenge that I could, it looked like a big challenge for me to fit into this place. And, you know, I heard about the gang issues in Chicago, and that had put me on edge, but what I was most afraid of was that I wouldn't connect to the city at all, that I would be separated from it the whole week, because it just looked like such a big challenge. This, it was such a complex place. But that all changed on my first day of service, and thank the Lord for that. So I was in the painting work group, so we painted all week. And on the first day, we went to repaint a steel fence. We went to repaint a steel fence for an older member of the suburbs. So we arrived at the house, and we met Miss Martha, who lived there. Miss Martha has taken care of her disabled daughter for herself by 3 years since her husband passed away. So she has to work pretty hard to take care of her daughter, who's, I think, 31 now. So she doesn't have the time or energy to, you know, maintain her house as much. So we met her, and Miss Martha was a blessing to our whole work group. She was so happy to see us every single day. One day she even came from her house and went over to where we were eating lunch just to say hi to us. She was really thankful for all of our work. She was probably the most helpful, attentive, and funny person I have served so far on a mission trip. And I was more shy than I would have liked, and I didn't speak up that much when she talked to us, but I really felt a connection between me and her. I felt back in place. I felt like I belonged when we were exchanging a smile. I met others from the neighborhood all week, and I didn't meet a single person I didn't like. And what looked like a big challenge at first turned out to be one of my easiest mission trip weeks. Probably the hardest thing to deal with was my shoe falling apart. However, as the trip reached a close, I worried that it was maybe too easy. I worried that maybe I hadn't stretched myself enough. But Allie and others in our mission team helped me to realize something. Last week in Chicago, serving was natural to me. It wasn't a struggle, because service has become part of my character by now. It means a lot to my journey with Christ, actually, because it means that as I am, I serve. The Kenneth who serves the Lord by painting houses is really just me. It's not something I have to force. It's not something that is just a mask I put on for a week. It's who I am.
I don't know what the future holds for me and my faith, but this is a really important landmark for me in my journey. Thank you.
Okay, so as Allie mentioned in the opening, over this week of mission, our theme was first love, as in God loved us first, so now we love others. When I heard this, I thought of traditional actions that show love, like hugs or smiles or laughter. But this week, I realized that there are many ways to love, and everyone loves on others differently. I learned that I not only worship, but love through music as well. I worked at the Yippie site, which, as she mentioned, is a summer camp for kids from lower-income families, and we took a field trip to the beach on Thursday, which was sadly our last day. On the bus ride back, I ended up sitting next to a kid named Falconeri, which is the coolest name I've ever heard. From a couple rows ahead of me and then across the aisle, I heard the opening of Stressed Out, which is a song by 21 Pilots, which also happens to be my favorite band. So, of course, I started singing, and I noticed one of the kids, Ignacio, whose smile was pretty rare that week. He was usually annoyed or spacing out. And so I noticed him, who was looking back at me, and he was singing along, and he was smiling. At the moment, Falconeri was talking to some of his friends behind our seat, but he perked up at the sound of music. He turned towards me and did a double take when he realized I was singing along to what I quickly learned was one of his favorite songs. He started singing with me and was surprised when I knew the rapping parts of the song, and Ignacio's smile beamed even brighter than it had before. I asked Falconeri if he liked 21 Pilots, and he replied with a very enthusiastic, "Yes!" leading to a brief conversation about their music that we were both very passionate about. I think that it's beautiful that I got to support these kids' love for music by sharing mine with them. And I think it's important that we're all able to find our own way to love on others and connect with them, other than just traditional forms of love.
Hello. So I've made like my little sermon into like three different lessons I learned. So the first one is I learned how to serve others in a different sense. So on all of my other trips, we did more of like labor. So I was always like painting a house or like building a deck, I think. Yeah, sorry. And this time we did a little bit of gardening and a little bit of painting, but we also did some community work. So that was part of the reason why I learned a different way to serve. I discovered what it really meant to serve others rather than myself. Dustin, Sue, and myself were assigned to the inner city work in the neighborhoods of Chicago. In the inner city neighborhood, we would work with a man who had a local church and was trying to make the neighborhood nicer in every aspect. Now, this man was very passionate about his neighborhood and was very proud of the work that he did to make it better for the community. But with the passion came a tad bit of criticism at times. Now, of course, I understand the reason for the critiques he gave. He just wanted to make sure we were doing a great job, and he wanted it the way he wanted it to be done, which I understand. But sometimes it came across a tad bit harsh, and I might be a little bit sensitive, so. of course, on the last day, by the last day, like Allie mentioned, we were hot, we were tired, and I am also very influenced by sleep, so if I don't get enough sleep for a certain number of days, I become not the most happiest camper, but I tried. And so on that day, I was tired and ready for a break. So once he asked me to create a poster for the garage sale that he had, I knew that I needed to work really hard to make sure it was neat and pretty, like he said. And I also don't have the best handwriting. So I worked even harder to try to make it as nice and nice as possible. So I ended up writing an outline of it for like 30 minutes to try to make it look as neat as possible. It still wasn't that great, but like I did the best I could. and so when he asked me to show him the poster before I outlined it with marker, he said that it wasn't straight or neat enough and that he was an artist and he like knew about this kind of stuff. And so since it was the last day, I was done. So I couldn't deal. So I took myself away from the situation. I went and he had me work on another project, but I said I had to go to the bathroom or something. And I went down into the sanctuary and cried for a little bit. but then that's when I realized that even though it's hard, sometimes people aren't the kindest, that's why we serve others. That even though I was tired and wanted to cry and wanted to go to sleep, that I needed to put myself aside and realize that even though it was exhausting and even though it didn't feel like I was exactly appreciated all the time, that I was serving him and I was serving God. So I picked myself up, wiped my tears away, and just said, all right, I just gotta let it go and I'll have time to cry later or something. And then a couple hours later, he came down and I think he realized that he hurt my feelings a little bit. And he asked for knuckles and asked if we were good. And I said, yeah, we're good. And he said, I worked really hard. So that was a little bit of a brightness in that day. And then the second thing I learned on mission trip was that God's love is unconditional. So I wrote, have you ever heard the term God loves us first? But we've talked a lot about it, so you've heard that. So when I heard this from pastors, I was like, yeah, like that's awesome, okay. But I never really unpacked it, as my lovely youth leader would say. On this trip, I learned what the concept really meant. The concept of loving God first was that his love was unconditional. The kind of love with no expectations and conditions. The love that doesn't need to be earned, but is automatically given because he loves us. So with this kind of love, there's nothing you have to do to earn that love. But I often get wrapped up in trying to do everything I can to prove to God that I'm worth it. Praying every night and helping others, but when I didn't feel like I did all of that, I felt like I let God down. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. And it wasn't until I was talking with Allie at the end of the trip that I realized that my mindset wasn't correct. There was no need to feel like I needed to prove anything to God because he already loves me and thinks I'm worthy of his love. He longs for us to be close to him because he loves us, not because we owe it to him. So remember that God loves us first and to serve the Lord out of the kindness of your heart, not to prove your worth, because we all are worthy. And then I have one more. Lastly, I learned to be a lean on. The term to lean on means to be someone else's strength when they have no strength left to muster. So to be a lean on is the person who supplies the strength to the weaker person. On the last day of mission trip, we had a community service where lots of the neighbors were coming to worship. During this service, the incredible, passionate pastor asked for the youth on the mission trip to come up to the front and worship. Of course, we obeyed and went to the front to worship with the pastor and song. We were up there for about 15 minutes, singing and answering questions that the pastor asked. My team and I were experiencing the passion and supplied it back to the preacher. All of a sudden, he gave the mic to me and asked me to lead worship. I, of course, then got on stage and sang the song Lean On Me by, who is it, Bill Withers? By Bill Withers. And so I knew the beginning part of it, so that was good, but then there was some parts where I didn't really know, so. But of course, I didn't know all the words, and I was very out of tune, but that was the moment that I realized that we are all human. We are all weak at some points, and we all have to stick together. Our voices may be small, but together we are strong. That we need to be a lean on for others and also allow ourselves to lean on others, because God puts those people in our lives to help us with the hard times and help us realize after a hurricane comes a rainbow. Thank you.